So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Britashura. This is text number 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maghavanyata Badrambo. Dadyancham Rishi Satamam. Vidyavrata Tapasaram. Gatram Yachatamachiram. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribra Jagacharya Ashtotar Chatashri Shimana Bhai Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Bhagavan, Indra, all good fortune unto you. I advise you to approach the exalted saint Dadyancha Dadichi. He has become very accomplished in knowledge, vows and austerities, and his body is very strong. Go ask him for his body without delay. Please repeat. O Bhagavan. Purport. Everyone in this material world, from Lord Brahma down to the ant, is eager to keep his body comfortable. A pure devotee may also be comfortable, but he is not eager for such a benediction. Since Bhagavan, the King of Heaven, still aspired for a comfortable bodily situation, Lord Vishnu advised him to ask Dadyancha for his body, which was very strong due to his knowledge, vows and austerity. In Harihara Ketra, Hamsavahan Ketra, those who have been to Mayapur. You've been to the Hamsavahan temple when you do the Prikram and Godram Deep. And there is a deity of Lord Shiva. He gets on Brahma's swan to come down to hear Gorakatha in Navadvip. Sutta Goswami is chanting Gorakatha. So he comes very quickly on Brahma's swan. He leaves his bull. Nandi is too slow. He's very so eager to hear, so he jumps on Brahma's swan and he comes very quickly. It stays under the water because he's due to his ecstasy of hearing Gorakatha, Lord Shiva becomes very hot, so they keep him under the water practically the whole year and they bring him up on certain occasions. But somebody stole that deity a little while ago. Then he was recovered. But the police said, anyway, you don't keep him under the water because you can't protect him. They used to keep him in a lake there. So now he's out all the time and he has a temple there so you can get darshan all the year now, that nice deity. Anyway, they have a festival. When he comes out, they have a festival and they do a little prikram of Navadvip. They came to ISKCON last year also. We had a big festival there, a big Abhishekam. And the devotees who look after that deity, they take sannyas for that period, 7 days, something like that. They're not sannyasis, but they take sannyas. And they put on saffron cloth and they got their tree shawl. And then at the last day of that festival, when Hamsavan comes back to the temple after doing prikram, they have a festival and they show their power of their strong bodies. Here we're talking about strong bodies. Indra wants a strong body. So Vishnu's fulfilling his desire. You go to Dadichi and he's very strong body. So what they do there, they build a scaffolding of bamboo. It's about maybe 30 feet high. And these sannyasis, they've been fasting at least that whole day and whole night, because they've been with the deity all the time. I don't think they fast the whole time, but at least that the last day they're completely fasting. I think they all look a bit stoned when you look in their eyes. They're all kind of glassy-eyed. But anyway, they have this festival, and they put their tridents in the ground up like that. They're tree souls, many tree souls. And they climb to the top of this scaffolding, and they actually dive off, and it hits their chest. The tree soul is actually, they bounce off it. And then this means that they're very, very strong body. They pray to Lord Shiva to make their body as hard as iron. It's a fact, 30 feet they jump on those tridents and it doesn't stick in them. And they come up, power, Shiva Shakti power. So it's possible, even today, to get a very body like iron. They want iron body. But even you have an iron body, you can't keep it eternally. You have Iron Man, isn't it? Iron Man or Steel Man, Cartoon Man. But even if you have a body of iron, still you can't keep it for long. But people are desirous to have very strong bodies and live a long time. And more or less this is the difference between the demigods and the pure devotees. The demigods are also devotees, but they still have a desire to live comfortably in the material world and have some position of power, control. They're devotees, so they get these positions. And of course, they're only temporary, and they last a long time, of course, in the ages of the demigods. Compared to the people on earth. But factually, it's a lifetime for them. Prabhupada said it's a lifetime. He said Brahma, he lives, you can't calculate how many years Lord Brahma lives. He said, but for him, it's a lifetime. And an ant, he lives, how many, I don't know, how long, how many days, months. But for him, it's a lifetime. We think, you know, we live much longer than the animals and insects, but it's just a lifetime for us. So he said it's just a lifetime for everybody, even if you get a Brahma. For him, it's just a lifetime. So this calculation of time is kind of relevant or irrelevant. Everyone lives a lifetime, and then you die. But somehow or another, the demigods, at least they want to do some good work in the universe, take nice positions, live comfortably, enjoy, and they're devotees at the same time. So Krishna gives them that facility of management, universal management. So to extend that, now he wants a very strong body to become, so he can come undefeated in battle, etc. So he's going to ask Dadichi, who's a very learned person in all the Vedas, in the Karmakanda sections and all the spiritual sections. So they're approaching him for his body. His body has become very, very powerful because of his austerities and penances. So this actually happens. He actually gives up his body practically without a second thought. The demigods are going, please give us your body because we want to prolong our lives. You give up your life so we can prolong our life. So they got completely different consciousnesses. But Dadichi, he's immediately willing to give up his body, immediately. He knows the temporary, he has spiritual knowledge, he knows the temporary nature of the body. It has to go sometime. And if you can do good works with your body, then that's a glorious way to leave the body. In Krishna book also, I can't remember. Anyway, when you can give up your body for a greater cause, then that's considered glorious because your fame lives on and on and on. Your body won't live on anyway. But if you give up your body for a greater cause, then your fame will live on and on. So you'll get you continue in existence by your fame. So better to sacrifice a temporary body for a greater cause. So this Dadichi, he sacrificed his body simply to fulfill the desires of the demigods. And they were able to make, Vishwakarma was able to make a thunderbolt from the bones of Dadichi. It was such a powerful thunderbolt that it was out to kill this demon Britashori. It was very, very powerful. And actually no one could kill him. But Vishnu invested his power. He had invested his power in the bones of Dadichi. And so that became a very powerful weapon to kill the Britashori. With that bones also, I think they made, most probably it was Parashuram's bow, his bow, with Lord Ramchandra broke that, was it? He broke that bow? Yeah, I think that bow, that was also made from the bones of Dadichi. And also they made the Maharaj ki. They also made, here you're having a Rath Yatra festival, I saw the poster there. But at the time of Indradyumna and the Jagannath Leela, and he wanted to perform the Rath Yatra here. So the first Rath that they made was brought down from the heavenly planets. It was in the demigod's Rath. So they used that for Lord Jagannath's first Rath Yatra in Puri. But that Rath Yatra was also made from the bones of Dadichi. Maybe something else, I can't remember. At least those things, the thunderbolt and the bow of Parashuram and the Rath of Jagannath. So anyway, I guess the idea has been explained here that it's not really worth trying to extend the body, make the body very, very strong and preserve the body, which is destined to finish anyway within a few years. So better to sacrifice this body. And this body is sacrificed in the fire of Sankirtan. This is the sacrifice for this age. So if we can sacrifice these bodies for the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, then that'll be very glorious. Here, not only you become famous in society, so the fame, the body won't live on, but the fame will live on, like so many famous kings, etc. But for devotees, they get an extra benediction, and they'll all go back to Godhead also. So they're winning in every direction. So if the body is we should sacrifice. Human life is meant for sacrifice. It's meant for the pasture. It's meant for austerity. So don't complain. Some things seem too difficult, maybe too difficult for us. No, this is human life is meant to take on these difficulties, these austerities. And it's not just for our benefit. It's actually it's for the satisfaction of Krishna, for propagating his mission. So it's not a selfish motivation, this sacrifice, like the demigods and many ascetics, they're performing austerities and penances, but it's selfish motivation. But our sacrifice in the Sankirtan mission, it's supremely selfish also, because we get the best benediction, we go back to Godhead. But also it's so beneficial for others, and it's the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we can surrender to the Sankirtan movement, that is the greatest austerity. Actually, the greatest austerity is Shastra Seva, study of the Shastra, is the greatest austerity you can perform. So when we study Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, then is the greatest austerity. But what is the essence of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Is devotional service to Krishna. This is the essence that is coming out. So to surrender to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually means to render to learn to surrender to service. Without service, nothing will happen. What is the whole purpose of life? Of Krishna, he's Rasaraj. He wants to enjoy relationship. He wants to enjoy pleasure. Pleasure is the purpose of life. God is one, he becomes many. Why? For his pleasure. So we are the many. But what is the purpose? To bring God pleasure. So we have to again engage in service to Krishna. So that is what Krishna's business. Pleasure is his business. So this rasa is exchanged through the medium of service. And so this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is telling. It's all about service. Different types of service, different relationships, different activities, all in relationship to Krishna. So it's a medium in which we can express our feelings. Our love for Krishna is what he actually wants to relish from us. So here we have all the different varieties of relationships with Krishna throughout Bhagavatam, Dasaras, and Shantarasas, and then in the 10th canto you get more Vatsala and conjugal relationships. They're all expressed here in Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's all about service, serving Krishna in different ways, because this is what actually brings Krishna pleasure. So this is something very practical that we can do. Maybe we can't directly see Krishna, to relate to Krishna, but we can understand that Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form, his paraphernalia, etc., are non-different. And Krishna's service is also non-different from him. And practically, when we accept the process of Krishna consciousness, we take it seriously, we take shelter at the lotus feet of Guru. And what does he do? He gives us the process of Krishna consciousness. He gives us at least Nam Seva, everybody gets chant 16 rounds, so minimum. So we get all these different types of service from the Guru. The initiation, Krishna recognizes you when you get initiation from a bona fide sampradaya, from a bona fide Guru. Then Krishna recognizes you at that time, that you're making a serious endeavor to come to him, back to him. And the medium in which you come back is service. This is what the guru is giving. So we should actually learn how to surrender to Krishna in the form of service. This is practical, because this is all we've got. So if we can learn this art, understanding Krishna is none different than his seva, then we're always with Krishna, because we're always serving Krishna. And the moment we stop serving Krishna, we are not with Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is he giving actually? Mahabharanaya, avatar, what is he actually giving? When Nityananda Prabhu reveals, when he's talking about the Adbhut Mandir and everything in Mayapur, now from that wonderful temple, what happens? Who knows the verse? Who knows the English? Yes. What spreads from that temple? Nityananda Prabhu was speaking about Adbhut Mandir, and from that something spreads all over the world. Every town and village of the world. Gauranga Nitya Seva, Hoi Bibikash. The service of Gauranga. So Gauranga is Mahapanaya. Why? Because he's come to give his service. Who is his greatest devotee? Srimati Radharani. And what is she doing? She's serving Krishna. And what's everyone else doing? They're serving Krishna. So he has come to give that service. Why? Because Nitya Krishna Das, we're the eternal servants of Krishna. We've forgotten. So he's come to give that here. This is why he's Mahapana here. Please take service. Take service. He's giving freely. Qualified or unqualified. Here is the service to Krishna. This is what Gauranga is giving. And previously a qualification was required. But here, in this incarnation, no. Whether you're unqualified, whether you're qualified, just take this service. So they were begging people, just take chanting Hare Krishna. Nam Seva. Kirtan. So he's giving his service and he's accepting that service when we sincerely perform that service. And this way Krishna is available, even in the Kali Yuga. Without the qualification. The qualification is that you accept the service. That is your good fortune and your qualification, that you accept it. And if you don't accept it, you must be considered unfortunate. So this is something very practical, because this is something everybody gets and everybody should be doing. So we can learn to see how Krishna is, and then we'll become completely satisfied no matter where we are, because we're always engaged in service to Krishna no matter what the situation is. Anyway, we had a nice festival this year. Many of you were there in Mayapur, Gopanima. You had a nice festival here also. And you played Holi, I heard, with Radha Gopinaji at the Holi festival. They were asking, Jayapataka Maharaj was asking some of the devotees there, you know, about their festival and their realization of the festival and things like that. And they were giving their, what they were enjoying in the festival, you know, the prikrams and the kirtans and the seminars and all these nice things, the mahaprasad. But I was thinking there was something else this year that I couldn't really put my finger on it, but there was a feeling there this year that, and to me, of course it's my own feeling, could well be wrong, but it felt like Lord Chaitanya was satisfied this year. Somehow or another he seemed satisfied. And I when I was trying to analyze, I'm putting it down to that here it looks at last that we're going to actually, you know, build this temple and everything that Prabhupada wanted in Mayapur. And because the prediction is of Nityananda, from this temple, service to Gauranga spreads all over. Prabhupada called it love of Godhead. The love of Godhead will spread all over the world from this temple. So, I mean, we want to see that in our lifetime. We would love to see it. Maybe, maybe not, but that it's our ambition to... it would make the devotees very happy to see that. That everybody, the whole world is... The holy name is chanted in the whole world. And Prabhupada called, yeah, it's a flood of love of God coming from Mayapur. But the prediction is, by Nityananda, from the temple. From the temple. So at least we can do that much. At least let's put the temple there. Then at any time it can happen. But until it's there, according to the prediction, it won't happen. So all these... I mean, in the future, you all know we had so many designs of temples, so many promises year after year after year after year. Kind of gave up hope, but now it looks really positive. With Ambarish Prabhu is heading the project, and also a large amount of the finance he's giving. So we're really off to a good start. And he's determined to build it, and he directly ordered by Prabhupada to build it, direct instruction. And just recently had a dream of, again, of Prabhupada. He was praying that all my God brothers have dreams. I never had a dream of Prabhupada. And I don't know what he wants me to do. Because there is also a letter, and Prabhupada says, if you get too much problem from the local government, you can do it in another state. So he was thinking, because Puri also offered, we can build it in there. A few states, actually. They offered that we can build the projects there. So he was praying to Prabhupada, then actually Prabhupada appeared in his dream. And Prabhupada said, no, you build it in Mayapur. So he's in ecstasy. So he's full ahead, going full ahead. And Bhavananda is doing a lot of the, you know, interior design, etc. like that. So we know he's very, very efficient. Whatever you see in Mayapur, practically he did that. All the gardens, the fountains, and most of the buildings. He went out and he didn't just build it. He went out and collected the money and just built everything up in Mayapur. So he's a very efficient person to, you know, he'll get it done. And he's also really anxious to start. So it really looks like, you know, things are going to happen there. And... There's a letter from Prabhupada to one Girish Babu, and he's talking about this project, how we have this much money, we're going to spend this much money, we have government going to give us this much land, and we have, you know. But and then that letter, then he said, when the desire of Lord Chaitanya is there, it will be taken up. So Prabhupada was no fool that he was thinking, now we got the money, we got the land, we got the manpower, we can build it. No. When the desire of Lord Chaitanya is there, it will be taken up. So he was always dependent, as we all always are, on the desire of the Lord. So somehow or another, it appears that the desire of the Lord hasn't been there all these years, and it's been put off. But this feeling I've got now, it feels like Lord Chaitanya is happy, and he's manifesting his desire now. It looks like it's really going to happen. And because many of the other predictions are coming true, Nityananda Prabhu made all the, how the many ghats are built on the Ganga again. Again, people are building many ghats there. Because now he says the Ganga will go back to a steady course. She's gone back to a steady course. And many ghats are there. He says many residential buildings are coming. Now you go to Mayapur as you're approaching, right? There's hundreds and hundreds of houses there. Just in the last few years. Literally, it's hundreds of... we have our own Grihasthapara. Practically all the way from, you know, our Grihasthapara, all the way up to the Jogpit, they're all practically ISKCON devotees, all houses. And then from there, all the way down, all those houses, they're Chaitanya Math devotees. There's all prediction of Nityananda. There'll be many residential buildings, and all those houses will have deities of Krishna. And the holy name will be coming from the houses. Every house has deity there. Gaunitaya, Radha, Krishna, Jagannath. And so all these predictions are coming true. Then he speaks about the Adbhut Mandir. So right in the same sentence practically. So it looks like it's the next thing to happen. So it looks like it's actually, it feels like it's going to happen now. And also the opulence is increasing now in Mayapur somehow or another. It seems like Lakshmi Devi is manifesting herself there again. It's becoming more opulent. Even all the other temples are becoming more opulent. Our Jagannath temple is becoming very opulent. It's in a little village. Nobody went there, and a few pies are coming in. And now it's also becoming very opulent. Lots of money is coming in. So it seems like the Lord is manifesting his opulence. Nityananda Prabhu is telling Jiva Goswami when they're on Parikram, they come to the bank of the Ganga. Of course, it's moved now. I think it actually moved when Nityananda Prabhu was there, because he mentions how the Ganga has cut Rudradweep into two. But anyway, he goes there with Jiva he says, this is the bank of the bank of the Ganga. Here is the Vrida Shiva temple and Mahaprabhu's own ghat, where Mahaprabhu used to take bath. Then Barakrona Ghat, Madai Ghat, Nagari Ghat, right over to Nirdaya Ghat. They're all here in this place. And he said the Vrida Shiva Ghat is the temple of Prodomaya, who is Yogamaya. She's the predominating goddess of Navadvip Dham. And Vrida Shiva, old Shiva, they stay in that temple. Jiva Goswami asks, what happens when Nityananda Prabhu says, the Ganga floods and covers all of Mayapur for about 100 years after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then for the next 300 years, it's not flooded, but the Ganga is constantly moving just like a snake for her pleasure. Everything is washed away, so practically all the pastime places get washed out and everybody leaves. They live on high land. And it becomes deserted. Then he says, after 400 years, again the task of recovering the Dharma will begin again. That's almost to the day when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, again, he discovered the actual birthplace and propagated Navadvip Dharma. And so Jiva Goswami, where will Vrida Shiva and Prodomaya go when they're flooding? He said they go to that highland, Paradanga, that's near what we call now Navadvip town. You go to Navadvip town there's a big banyan tree there, a place of Prodomaya yoga. That place is called Paramatala. It used to be called Prodatala after Prodomaya, but now the name has changed. Maybe you went there on Parikram. But all the Vaishnavas know that's the place of Yogamaya Devi. There's no deity there, actually. They have one ghat, one lota, and there's some smarta brahmanas. They're shaktas. They worship. They install some form of Devi, not Yogamaya, but a material form of Yogamaya. And they do worship in the pot every day, and they cover it in flowers. You don't see. People think there's a deity, but there's no deity. But all the Vaishnavas know that that is the place of Prodomaya, Yogamaya Devi. So they stay there now. But then Nityananda Prabhu says, then they'll come back at this time also. And again they'll resume the task of revealing the Dharma, because Yogamaya, she covers the Dharma and reveals the Dharma. She covers from the eyes of the non-believers and atheists, but for the devotees she actually reveals it, uncovers. He said they will also come back. Specifically, he mentions Navadvip Bhava Taranga, he specifically mentions many temples of deities such as Prodomaya and Vrida Shiva will come there. So they'll come back and resume the task of revealing the Dharma again. And he said there's many things in the Shastras about Navadvip Dham, but Yogamaya has covered the eyes of the scholars. But she will again remove the covering, and many, many things will come to become manifested. Because Lord Chaitanya wanted his mission kept secret while he was here. It wasn't that he was, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead aspect. But he said after, then it will become more manifest. So it appears by his will for several hundred years, nothing really happened. The whole place was washed out. Everything got lost. Because all the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, when he was here, when Mahaprabhu left, they were just devastated. They stopped doing anything. And practically the preaching stopped. No maintenance went on. Nobody, you know, just the way Krishna left Vrindavan. Nobody could do anything. Nobody bothered. Nobody milked the cows. The cows didn't even bother to give milk anyway. In complete devastation. So everything got kind of covered. But this was all by his desire. And of course the six Goswamis were there in Vrindavan, but they were just writing and compiling everything. And then Jiva Goswami systematically put everything together. Then that went on to Narottama, and the different acharyas have kept that alive. But it appears that, and you know, and at that time all the upper sampradayas coming. So not only was the Dharma covered and the devotees, you know, kind of, they didn't do much at that time because of the separation of Gauranga. But all the upper sampradayas, the so-called followers of Gauranga, come. So it was really, but apparently it is the desire of the Lord. That's the way it was happening. But now exactly, you know, like this 500 years later, it appears the time that it's going to manifest according to all the different predictions. So anyway, we were thinking of building a little temple there for Prodamaya and Britishiva and inviting them back from Navadvip, come back and resume your task of revealing the Dharma, because, I mean, there's still problems with the local government about land and everything like that. And anyway, they'll come and they may be able to remove all the problems to reveal the Dharma more and more. Now, right next to that is Shiva Doba, which is, you know, the little hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital there? Right on the road, side of the road, is where the little culvert is. Anyway, right opposite there, it seemed like ISKCON and the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like in between there, it's a little culvert. And the Bhaktivedanta Hospital is there. And opposite, the other side of the road, is Shiva Doba. Doba means pond. It's a low-lying area. Lord Shiva used to go there and was there meditating on Gauranga and feeling so much separation, his tears formed this pond, this Doba. So that place is known as Shiva Doba. It's just a few yards away from Prodamaya and Mahaprabhu Ghat, Madai Ghat. Well, it's that right near that area. And there's another, a Gaudiya Math has just been built there opposite. His name Bharati Maharaj. He's a disciple of Shanta Maharaj. They built a Gaudiya Math there. They got some Radha Krishna. It's not finished yet. But anyway, he had a dream. I went to see him and he told me, because I heard about his dream. I thought, you know, it was a good indication. And he saw Lord Shiva there, because his place is right at Shiva Doba. He said Lord Shiva in his dream. It's early morning. And he said he was about 30 feet tall and he had his deer skin, a tiger skin and his tree shawl, huge figure. And he said he was a little bit angry. And he said, why my worship is not going on here? And he said, we'll build you a temple. So already they got the big linga. They built one big linga. I thought maybe we could put Prodamaya and Ridashiva there also. So I was just talking with him about that. But he agreed. But then I thought better on the actual site. If we can put it there. But anyway, I thought it was a good indication that Lord Shiva, it looks like he wants to come back there. You know, he was a little bit angry. Why my worship is not going on? So I thought these were all good indications that now is the time that it looks like it's really going to flourish. And then we'll all be happy when... Obviously, Krishna consciousness will become easier to spread everywhere because that's the prediction. It'll go all over the world. Then all of your hard work will not go in vain. You'll see all your preaching everywhere. and all the devotees taking so much trouble, austerities all over the world. So hopefully we'll see that time in the... At least we'll put the temple there. At least we'll do that much. And then in any day from then it will happen like that. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Samaveda Bhaktabrinda ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gopi Premanandi. Hare Krishna.